All right. Transitions. We've been talking about transitions, and I will stop today on that, and we're going to finish today on transitions. And today I want to talk to you about Solomon, King Solomon in the Old Testament. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless his word. At the end of this message, we will have communion together. And at Freedom Church, we ask this. We ask that you don't have to be a member of our church to partake of communion. What we ask is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord, you can know him before the end of the day, end of the service. Just ask Jesus into your heart, repent of your sins, believe on your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the scripture declares you shall be saved. Hallelujah. So please know that. And we'll celebrate communion at the conclusion of this message today. Lord, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love for us. I thank you, Lord God, for all that you're involved in. And I ask you, O God, to speak to our hearts today, Lord. Minister to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I don't know if you paid attention or not, but this is one thing that's happening in our world today. Have you noticed the earthquakes that are going here and there and everywhere? Have you noticed that? I think I read one the other day. There was one in Missouri. How about that? How about in the midst of all this tectonic plates being shifted, do you realize that magnetic north has moved 30 miles? I'm going to say that again. Magnetic north has moved 30 miles. They're anticipating magnetic north. You guys like that when I do that, don't you? You guys enjoying that way too much. I'm laughing with you, trust me. Sometimes what I have in here, do you have that problem? Yeah. I'm not supposed to have that problem. But it's moving 30 miles, and what they're anticipating, what they think, oh, I don't know, you know, because historically, the earth has swapped poles. And they're wondering if we're not in the midst of a flop. Get ready. I mean, now everybody's going to be, they're looking at Google right now. Is he telling the truth? Don't do it now. Wait till after church. Okay? But I'm telling you, things are shifting. That means this. You have got to be prepared. Put your hope, not on this earth, but in him. Amen? Because everything could change. But listen, this is what he made a promise. I'll never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? What a hope we have in him. Huge transition took place in the nation of Israel. David was king, he got old, and his son was going to take over. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 28, it says this, "Then King David said, 'Call in Bathsheba.' So she came into the king's presence and stood before him, and the king took an oath, 'As surely as the Lord lives, who has delivered me out of every trouble.'" That's pretty good, isn't it? "He's delivered me out of every trouble. I will surely carry out this very day what I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel. Solomon, your son, shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place." Who was going to be king? Solomon. A huge transition was about to be made in the nation of Israel. And God gives this this charge to Solomon that really could be a charge to all of us. Listen to it in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father, serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you." Isn't that beautiful? Huh? "But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." He will reject you forever. What a charge. Can I tell you, there's something about seeking God. There's something about devoting your heart wholeheartedly to Him. A matter of fact, I don't know about you, but when I came to the Lord, I came to the Lord out of fear because I didn't want to go to hell. I think that's a good reason to ask Jesus into your heart. Amen? Well, why would God send somebody to hell? Because you reject His Son. Because in rejecting His Son, you're rejecting the authority of God, the provision of God. You're rejecting God Himself. It's not that God is sending you to hell. You have made a choice to reject God, to stiff-arm God. And God, you play the role of what the devil did. So God, those who reject Jesus, does what God did to the devil. He's prepared a lake of fire for him. Now, for those who believe in the Lord, He's preparing a place. Amen? And it's going to be awesome. That's why our job, our responsibility as believers is to tell all we can. Not to be arrogant about it, not to be boastful about it. In a simplistic form of love to tell people Jesus is the answer. And we have to do that. That's what missions is all about. That's what next Sunday, two weeks, Saturday night missions banquet is all about. Amen? Telling people about Jesus all over the world. Amen. You see, the need for Solomon, you can imagine, here he is just happily going doing this and that and tending this and that, and all of a sudden he realizes one day he's going to be king, and God is serious about it, his father is serious about it, and his mama is serious about it. You know what that does? It causes him to ask for something that all of us need. Wisdom. How many of you need a little wisdom? Some of you need a little wisdom. You didn't answer your hand. I'm worried about you. Just real worried. We need wisdom. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says this. Now the Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over the people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge. But that wisdom of knowledge needs to have a purpose. Because sometimes we're asking for our own selves. You know. That I might lead this people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? He needed wisdom to do God's plan and purpose. We need His wisdom to do His plan and purpose. To glorify His name. Amen. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. If any of you lack wisdoms. If any of you lacks wisdom, I qualify. You should ask God. Now notice what God does. He gives what? How does He give? Don't you just love that about God? I mean, matter of fact, Paul will say it this way. He lavishes His love on us. Oh, that's pretty good. He gives generously without finding fault. I like that too. You know what? I mean, there are some people who are good at finding fault about me and about you. But God's not in that business because He already knows it. And he has already made a provision for it. His Son, Jesus. He gives generously without finding fault. And it will be given to you. Is there any doubt there? No. It will be. You know what? That's a definite thing. What do you have to do? Ask. I think, first of all, maybe you should acknowledge your lack of. Because nobody asks for something that you have plenty of. Unless it's money. But wisdom. I recognize I don't have it. I got to ask. And God says, come and I'm going to give it to you generously. He's that kind of God. You see, the truth of the matter is when you're making transitions in life, you better have some wisdom. You better have some wisdom that looks beyond the circumstances. You better have some wisdom that sees a little further than what you can see. You need the wisdom of God because He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen long before what you can see, way before, a long way out there. I got it bad today. I'm sorry. But it is comical, isn't it? You see, we need wisdom. And because you're going to have, listen, whenever there's transitions, there can be at times opposition to that transition. And Solomon faced that. He faced it from his half-brother, right in his family. His half-brother. Can I tell you, do not be surprised at who challenges God's plan and purpose for your life. Joseph laid his dream out there. What happened? His brothers put him in a pit. They didn't appreciate what he declared. How many know God made it come to pass? Can I tell you, opposition can't hinder, but you have to be prepared for that opposition. Amen? Yeah. Now, when that happens, you need someone to fight on your behalf. Fight on your behalf. Can I tell you, sometimes you don't need to do the fighting. You need to keep your mouth shut and wait on God. Because He'll rise someone to the occasion to take care of you. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, listen to what it says. Now Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, put himself forward and said, I will be king. And so he got chariots and horses ready and 50 men to run ahead of him. His father had never rebuked him by asking, why do you behave in such this, like this? He was also very handsome and was born next to Absalom. You remember Absalom, who rebelled against his father and took up kingdom away from David for a season. I think it's the most fascinating story because David is run out of Jerusalem. He is run out of town and they're cussing him and he's cussing him. Their people are cussing him and cussing him because of Absalom who set up the rebellion. Listen, there is always someone against God's work. There will be opposition to God's plan and purpose in your life. You just got to know that. And what happens? Solomon's mom, Bathsheba, rises to the occasion. We got to do something here. We got to do something. God made a promise to my son. Can I tell you, sometimes someone else needs to fight for the promise in your life. That's the power of prayer. Can I tell you, you may not have to stand before kings, you may not have to stand before officials, but you can go before the Lord and pray on the behalf of someone you know that needs God to come through for them. Fight on their behalf in prayer. And Solomon's mom does it. And Nathan, the prophet, it's, you know, you can almost count on your mama being there. Yeah, someone needs to pray for that soul. Listen, I'm telling you, you can almost count on, almost, notice I said almost. Almost you can count on your mama being there, but when the man of God comes, coupled with your mama, and they go into the king, David, you made a promise to me that my son was going to be on the king, and this guy is challenging what you declared. And David takes it into his hands to assure the plan and purposes of God are done. Sometimes you need someone to fight for you. Can I tell you, don't be afraid to fight for somebody. Somebody needs you to fight for them. Because listen, this is what I know. God knows how to fight for Larry. God knows how to fight for you. In Joshua chapter 23, verses 9 through 11, it says this. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord fights for you. Just as he promised, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, of course he's going to fight for Joshua. Can I tell you, God fights for you? You don't even know half the battles God has fought for you. Because they're spiritual. They're beyond your natural sight. They're beyond. You don't understand how much God stepped in and protected you and blessed you and encouraged you. You don't understand how God has done things for you that you won't even know till you stand before him face to face. And you're going to say, well, remember that time? Yeah, that's when I did. And I did. And I did. And I did. Why? Because he is a generous God who stands in behalf of his people, ever interceding for me and for you. Amen? God fights for your battles. In Exodus chapter 14, it says this, and Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord and will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Do you understand what's going on in this verse? They've just been delivered from Egypt. They're walking out of Egypt with all the treasures because the people gave them all their treasures. Get out of here, get out of here. After all the plagues, they were ready for them to leave. And they're marching, and by the time Pharaoh wakes up and realizes what's going on, he assembles his army and he begins to run down the people of God. And here's Pharaoh coming. Here is Pharaoh coming. And there's no hope because the Red Sea is on this side and Pharaoh is on this side. And Moses makes this declaration. God's going to fight for you. Can I tell you, when there seems to be no hope, God's going to fight for you. When there seems to be no way out, God will make a way. Who's he going to make a way for? You. Because you're his child, you're his daughter, you're his son. Can I tell you, God knows how to fight for his people. Hallelujah. And then Moses makes this declaration. The Egyptians you see, do you understand? Their whole TV screen was caught up with, Egyptians come, Egyptians come. That's all they could see. That's all that occupied their mind. That's all their whole vision was captivated by the enemy that was coming. And sometimes that's what happens to us. All we can see is all the bad stuff. All we can see is what's happening in a rotten way. All we can see is the negative stuff. Can I tell you, don't take your eyes off of God. Do you hear me? That's what Moses brought to the perspective. This day, those Egyptians who have captivated your eyeballs will be no more. You'll never see them again. And sure enough, the sea swallowed them. Aren't you glad God knows how to swallow the enemy? Huh? He can do it for you. You know what's neat about this verse is Solomon becomes king after David. A couple of things. Bathsheba is his mom. You know Bathsheba that was taking a bath on the roof of her house, and King David looked at her. What's her name? Can you bring her to me? Her husband's at war. Her husband's fighting for you, David. The flesh took over that day. And David sinned against God. Must have been a dark day in his heart. If you read Psalm 51, Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance. Forgive me, Lord. Against you only have I sinned. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might not sin against you. That's the Bathsheba we're talking about. A baby was conceived. The death of her husband, because David needed to take him out to preserve his own image. Sin always leads you to a dark place. The baby that was born dies. And Solomon comes. Solomon, who becomes king. You know what you call that? Grace. Mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy over my life. Huh? Who puts Solomon in the lineage of Jesus? Huh? His name, Solomon, means completion. Entering into a state of wholeness. Unity, restoration. See, I believe with all my heart that in the process of God making you into his son, Jesus Christ, he wants to bring you into a place of wholeness, of completeness, so that you're not disjointed, you are whole in his name, so that you can adequately proclaim and live for his glory. And Solomon is that. Yes. I believe transitions are meant to restore relationships. They may not never be the same like they used to be, but you don't have to live with anger. A remembrance of the knife that went in your back. You see, the goal of transitions really is to bring us to the state of peace, because we're coming to the place and the person of Jesus Christ to become more like him who is our peace. The root word for Solomon is solemn, which means the absence of strife. Boy, wouldn't you like to have that? I have it until I want to pick a fight with Linda. And sometimes you just need to fight. See me after church and I'll tell you how that went. Here's the story of Solomon's birth. Listen to this in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and made love to her. She gave birth to a son, and they called him Solomon. And then the Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. You know what that means? One beloved by Jehovah. Can I tell you something? You are loved by God. You are the beloved of God. There's something powerful about that. There's something amazing about that. When you think about all the universe that God is creating, and do you realize the other day they found another planet that rotates around our sun in our universe? Just when you think they know it all, That God who created it all declares his love for you. Amen? Glory to God. You see, in the midst of transitions, you got to know you are beloved of God. You got to know you can't make it on your own. You can't make it on your own. You need God. The third thing you got to know is this: God will fight for you. Hallelujah. And what I have to pray in relationship to that, Lord, help me to keep my mouth. Because I want to defend myself. I want to defend. And God says, you just let me defend you, please. He's good at that. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 12, God says this about Benjamin, but I think he, listen to what, because God is no respecter of hurt. About Benjamin, he said, let the beloved of the Lord rest secure in him. For he, that is God, shields him all day long. And the one the Lord loves rests between his shoulders. Can I tell you? You rest between the shoulders of God. He loves you. He loves you. Rest. What does it mean? It means he shields you. He protects you. I said it earlier. The heaven will only reveal all the times God stood in his stead to protect you. Amazing. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be moments of darkness. You know what happens in the midst of darkness? Do you know what it is to have darkness in your heart and your soul and your life? Do you know what that is? When you can't figure it out, when you can't understand, when you can't comprehend. You're in a valley so deep the sunlight can't even reach. There is no reflection of the moon, the stars. It is darkness. And all you do is ask, why? Why? Why have you forsaken me? Why did my child choose that path? Why did he have to leave? Why consumes the darkness? You see, the wise, they're beyond simple, trite answers. We Christians do our best. Well, we'll pray for you. I'm sorry. Sometimes there is no answers to the why. It's beyond all of our theology because it does not make sense. You know that why? That why that says it wasn't supposed to work out this way. This is not how I plan my life. This is not what I dream for my child. That why? That captivates your soul and eats and eats and eats and eats at your spirit. You see, that why has more to do with darkness than light. In Matthew 27, verse 46, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why? You see, you're not unusual. Even Jesus himself cried it in the midst of the darkness of the cross. Why have you forsaken me? You see, you thought you're the only one in the world who would ever feel like this, but Jesus himself declares it from the cross. God, it felt like, had forgotten him, had forsaken him in the midst of his why. The cross, which Jesus bore, and the world misunderstands. But to me, it's my hope. It's the only light, sliver, whatever, in the midst of darkness. Because Jesus knows what I'm going through because he went through it. He took upon himself my sin. He, the life and the giver of life, became death. For my sake, for your sake, to declare his love for you. This cross brings hope. Jesus is the hope. In the midst of transitions, this cross we remember today through communion, he brings the darkness out and his light in, that there is hope beyond what I feel. There's hope beyond the shadows. There's hope beyond the storm that I'm walking through. Bow your head with me, please. I don't know who is there, but I know some of you are. I have wept a lot this week because I think God wants you to know he's weeping with you. He's there. Even though you can't feel him, even though it seems like he doesn't hear, I'm telling you, he is there because he made a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Keep holding his hand. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Larry, I got a big why. I don't understand it, but I need God to help me. Would you just raise your hand? Put it up. Yes, yes, yes. Wow. Sometimes we just want to give the trite. That's just sin. Oh, it's just. You know, the beauty of the cross is God comes to rescue us. First of all, he comes to rescue us from ourselves. The next, he comes to rescue us from this world that's in a mode of decay and set us on a new paradigm, a new hope, a new future that lasts way beyond this life, an eternity in heaven with him. Yeah. I want you to take a moment right now and just lay your hand on somebody's shoulder. Would you do that if you can? You just take a moment right now and just pray one for another. And God, I just ask you to bless those that raise their hand today, Lord. God, I just pray you surround them. Wrap your arms of love around them today, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you work supernaturally in their lives. There are others, Lord God, who need to prepare for the days ahead. May your spirit of wisdom and grace and mercy fall on them today, Lord. May they know the God who fights in their behalf. May they know the God who declares his bold love for them. Today, Lord, work in their lives with your peace, with your help, with your wisdom. We recognize today, Lord, that we cannot do it alone. We cannot fight this battle without your help, Lord. Be my help, Lord. Be my help.